Grace, mercy, love, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The basis for this morning, or this afternoon's message is taken from the supposed assigned gospel. For some reason it was printed wrong. From John chapter 20, verses 19 to 30. But, as you will see from this message, it'll all become clear, it's okay. So, for this message, I chose from that scripture reading, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Thus our text. So I remember, Chris, when you and Kim sat in my office in Willowick. I remember it as if it was 6 years ago. But I want to tell you today, this is a special day because now you're going to be here full time. And you possess a power of not letting go. Jesus made it clear to all of his followers, including all of you here, the enormous power that they hold in their hands when it comes to the issue of forgiveness. Our task is to be sure we use this power wisely and compassionately. And Pastor Ryan, that is your main task. Everything is secondary. And of course, everything that Pastor Matsky says is going to be thirdly, right? You didn't hear that, did you? What? I'm sure everyone here has an experience like this, possibly during this Christmas season. You're walking through the mall. People are everywhere. Shoppers are looking in stores, going in and out of the shops, pushing baby buggies, carrying armloads of packages, and suddenly, without warning, someone crashes into you. It might just be a bump, or it could be a full shoulder block. But there it is. Your packages go flying. You may even lose your balance. You may stumble and fall. And then what happens? Now, I'm not asking for answers. The person who bumps into you says, "I'm so sorry. I ran into you. I didn't see you there. I guess I just wasn't paying attention. Please forgive me." And there it is. "Please forgive me." And of course, as Christians, you do. You say, "It's okay. It was just an accident. Don't give another thought." Now, that's the way it's supposed to happen. But what would it be like if it happened differently? What would be the reaction if you didn't forgive that accidental collision? Imagine if it sounded like this. "No, I'm not going to forgive you. How could you be so careless? I could have been injured. You better hope none of my purchases are damaged, because if they are, you're going to pay for them." What would be the reaction of the person who bumped into you? Shame? Anger? Somebody who already feels bad about an accident now feels even worse? That's the deadly power of not letting something go. And the biblical word for not letting something go is, wait for it, forgiveness. Our reading tells of Jesus' first appearance after his resurrection to the disciples. And to them, Jesus utters some very important words. Words that seem to have remarkable power for us mere humans. "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And if you don't forgive them, they are retained." And these words are interpreted by different Christian traditions differently. Some see them as a basis for the sacrament of forgiveness. But regardless of our tradition, these words from Jesus tell us that we are all called to forgiveness. He taught us to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." That speaks of an awesome power and one that you will all need to take seriously and use well. And I direct that at you, Pastor Ryan. But unfortunately, our Christian history is littered with the misuse of this power. In some instances, Christian leaders even put unbelievers to death. As human beings, we are so flawed, even as believers, to be able to form judgments about the worthiness of another person seeking forgiveness. But if the words don't mean that we have the ability to judge another's worthiness, then what do they possibly mean? The key to understanding what Jesus means is to first determine if he's speaking strictly or descriptively. If he's speaking strictly, then, according to this text, Jesus has given us the power to forgive and retain sins. Pretty simple, right? But if he's speaking descriptively, then the words actually serve as a warning. A warning. It's as if Jesus said, be careful. You yield enormous power in the world as my followers. You can decide something as allowable, and you let it go. It will be let go. If you decide something is sinful and you condemn it, it will carry a condemnable weight. That isn't the right way to pronounce it. Condemnable. Condemnable? That sounds right. We'll go with it. So be careful what you tell people. You may forgive something God doesn't. You may retain something that God forgives. But for the people you're forgiving or not forgiving, you may be their only access to God. Here's an example. In the 1950s, right after World War II, there was a marriage and a baby boom in the United States. Unfortunately, with an increase of marriage, also came an increase in the divorce rate. Many Christian leaders wanted to find ways to keep couples together. In some traditions, divorce was seen as such a significant personal failure that divorced persons were disqualified from serving in leadership positions. While the intention was probably not to say that divorce was an unforgivable sin, but for lots of people, it had that unintended consequence. Many divorced people, because of the influence of their faith tradition, became convinced that there was no place for them in their life for faith. The sins were retained in practice, and so for them it became a reality. I had a member of my church one time would not take communion because she was divorced, because her pastor had told her she wasn't allowed. Now, here's an example from the other side. During the civil rights movement, many congregations were forced to face their participation in segregation and racism. Many of these congregations repented and began working for racial equality. Some congregations, however, resisted. They found ways to justify racism, biblically and theologically. These traditions were in practice forgiving racial prejudice and sanctioning it within their faith tradition. Members who participated in these congregations were practically immune to efforts to convince them of the evil of racism because of their faith. Their sins were collectively forgiven. And as a result, they felt justified. So this is a real tightrope for followers of Jesus. How do you know? How do we stand on various issues? How can we know what we should be letting go and what we should say no? Obvious, the answer lies in our effort to include the whole teaching of Jesus into our understandings. As pastors, we have to be careful not to separate behaviors into narrow categories defined by culture or interest groups. Whatever issues we find ourselves confronting, whether it's the personal behavior of an individual or the collective atrocities of a some group, somehow we must find a way to put the light of Jesus' wisdom to work in finding an answer. And the best construction is to give forgiveness to anyone who comes to you and asks this thing that we can give forgiveness. Letting go. Holding on. It's hard to know what to do. But Jesus made it clear. And we must pay attention. Because what we let go is let go. And what we hold on to is held. We must be sure we are holding and letting go of the right things. This is true not only in the great social decisions we may collectively make as followers of Jesus. Forgiving and not forgiving is also true in personal relations. Pastor Ryan, your life will be different from now on. To what you've been accustomed to, it will be harder. Everything you do from this moment will be so difficult. But you will still have a life, and you will always have the love and support of this congregation, and of course, all these brothers who will surround you. You can reach out to any of them, and I encourage you to do that. Don't just rely on one person. Whatever you forgive is forgiven. Whatever you refuse to forgive can be carried like a great weight for a lifetime by a person you refuse to forgive. It's a sacred task that you've been given and a sacred trust. The consequences of your decisions are huge. When in doubt, and I say this to all of us, when in doubt, offer the gospel and the forgiveness that's promised to us. And remember the reading that you chose for this day. Forgiveness. And isn't that what it's all about? Forgiveness. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.